Occasionally, it's weirdly easy to read the interest rate tea leaves. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Perhaps the cost of borrowing money won't go up as much as we thought as this year goes on. That's one reason the benchmark 10-year interest rate is down below 2.69% right now. It's Friday when Chris Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial, answers our call. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning, David.
I might have missed one, but when the chair of the Fed spoke yesterday, he used the word patient or patiently five times. Merriam-Webster says patient means not hasty. What does it mean to you, an economist?
Well, this is a message they failed to deliver after the last Fed meeting. The market tanked 1,000 points in 2 days. So I think what it suggests is they really are listening, and they decided to reemphasize that they're not in a hurry to raise interest rates in the first half of this year.
We got some fresh inflation data today, and it didn't go up.
No. In fact, core inflation, which is less volatile, that's the one where we exclude food and energy. It gives us a better idea of where inflation's likely to settle out once energy prices calm down. That was steady. It's holding at about 2% for the full year, which, of course, it brings us full circle back to the Fed in a sense. 2% is their target for inflation, and that is the reason Fed officials say they can be patient this year.
Nicely done. The full circle. Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
Ford lowered its profit expectations this week in part because the car market in China is quieting down amid the trade war and trouble in Europe. But today, General Motors, which sells a lot in China, said it expects its profits to be higher than expected for both 2018 and 2019. That'll cheer investors, but come as cold comfort to the people worried about the 14,000 layoffs GM announced as 2018 drew to a close. GM stock currently up 7%. While the last few months of stock market volatility have been nerve-wracking for most mortals, it was welcome news for big funds designed to hedge against market turbulence. Data this week from the outfit Hedge Fund Research show that last year, hedge funds on average dropped by slightly less than the benchmark S&P 500 index. Hedge funds needed a bit of good news because the last decade has been hard on them. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Pensions, wealthy investors, endowments, they invest in hedge funds for a little protection from market swings. Nicole Boyson, a finance professor at Northeastern University, says hedge funds have a few tricks to avoid behaving too much like, say, your average mutual fund.
Hedge funds have far more flexibility than mutual funds. They can short sell stocks. Hedge funds can use leverage. Hedge funds can use derivatives.
And while the S&P 500 dropped 6% last year, some hedge funds crushed it. Bridgewater Associates, the biggest hedge fund, grew by 15%. Another one, D.E. Shaw, jumped 11%. But this success comes after a decade where stocks performed better than hedge funds.
When you have a really long bull market, investors are paying you 2% management fee and 20% incentive fee. And boy, you could have done better in the S&P 500. So you see some outflows and you see some managers just getting frustrated.
A bunch of other big name hedge funds closed their doors in 2018. Highfields Capital Management, SPO Partners. Hedge fund research president Ken Hines has been following the number of hedge funds over the last few years.
You've had three consecutive calendar years, 15, 16, and 17, of net contraction.
And while other funds didn't shut down last year, many just tanked. Greenlight Capital lost 34%. The activist hedge fund Third Point lost 11%. And while hedge fund strategies have had trouble keeping up with stock markets, Ted Seides, chief investment officer at Perch Bay Group, says it's not just the market that's caused funds to close.
Many of the leaders of the highest market share leading hedge funds have been at it for 20 or 30 years. And those who have succeeded have generated a lot of wealth for themselves and are just choosing to retire.
Seides has invested with hedge funds for over a decade. He says hedge fund strategies are still in high demand. And after all, there's $3 trillion invested in hedge funds around the world.
But most of that money is invested with large funds who have had long track records. And there's very little invested in new funds.
He says hard times are likely to continue, partly because if longtime managers keep retiring, newer managers with smaller track records will have a tough time attracting investors. In New York, I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Now let's check up on a Boeing 737 stuck in Iran since last month. A Norwegian Air flight had developed a technical problem and had to land at Shiraz Airport. The delay is the spare part. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is following this. Hi there.
Hi, David.
What's holding up this spare part?
Something called U.S. sanctions on Iran. Remember, you know, Norwegian Air usually operates in Europe. It's a low-cost carrier, so it's not used to being in Iran, never mind the geopolitics of sanctions. And basically, U.S. sanctions don't allow any company to sell or resell goods to Iran that contain more than 10% of aviation parts technology from the U.S. And that means not even another aerospace company based in Europe, say, like Airbus. All of them contain some U.S. parts.
And the partial U.S. federal government shutdown is a further delay here for getting that plane out of there?
Absolutely, because to get around those sanctions, Norwegian Air needs a license from the U.S. government. That's hard enough normally. And with the shutdown, my goodness, who do you even call to explain the situation?
Enough with the plane and the parts. What about the passengers who were on that flight?
Passengers and crew were able to overnight in Shiraz, and they got out the next day. They went back to Oslo. We don't need to worry about them. But the plane is definitely stuck. And I have to say, if I were Iran, I might be eyeing that plane for parts, because remember that Iranian carriers have to deal with this non-availability of parts every single day.
All right. Don't encourage pilfering, Anu. The BBC's Anu Anand. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. This is from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.